Good morning. We are getting close to completing this study of Herb Fitch's seminar, Beyond Time. And this class, which was the first half and the second half of 7-1, but we're only going to cover the first half. This was, I think, on a Saturday night, but I'm not sure. Saturday afternoon. I can't remember that far back. I'd have to get the schedule and see. Anyway, I was in the audience, and it seemed strange to me listening to it again for the first time in many years, because I realized that the experience I've shared, and I'll tell you a little bit about it again, was almost exactly what Herb was saying during the class, and I never realized that before. He said, "You rise up out of your body." He said, "You don't know where you leave off and others begin." He said, "The hard lines aren't there." And I experienced all that exactly as he said it. I can tell you this, the group consciousness of this class was very advanced, or very experienced, let's say. We're not running a race. Very experienced, because I only had to come to the meditation before the class and begin to feel that presence. You can call it the presence. You can call it the spirit. You can call it Christ. You can call it the I within. But as soon as I sat down, I began to feel it. And then the more he went on with his talk, and for the most part I listened with closed eyes, the deeper I went into meditation. Before I continue with that, I don't want to forget the principle that I got out of this first half just hit me in the head like a, I don't know, it just smacked me in the head. Here's the principle. In order to heal, treat the consciousness that has the problem. You see, you don't treat somebody else. You don't treat some other situation. You treat the consciousness that has the problem. And whose consciousness is that? Well, somebody just called and put the problem in your consciousness. So, in order to heal, treat the consciousness that has the problem, which is yours. In order to heal, treat the consciousness that has the problem by getting out of it. And then rest in the silence. We might say, then rest in that other consciousness. This is fabulous. This is fabulous. Why? Because if you're like me, you have tried to treat the person or the problem or the situation. True, we know truth mentally. We sort of hurl it at the problem or situation or person. We say something like, there's no power in this picture. This is a mental image. It's not a person. It's not a condition. It's not a situation. It is nothingness. And so that's treating the problem and the condition and the situation. But here we're told, how do you treat, how do you heal? You get out of the consciousness that has the problem. And that's you. If somebody just gave it to you, or if you've been dwelling on the problem, particular problem in your life. And so you don't treat it. Yes, in metaphysics you do. But this group is called mystical principles, and this is a mystical principle. Look for them. You can always recognize a mystical principle because it takes you out of thought. Take no thought, and a mystical principle will do that. And as I sat in the audience listening, he even said, you get kind of saucy. And remember, I said that I wanted to giggle. As I sat in the audience, I was lifted right out of this form. And it felt like it was above. Above and behind. Oh, I can feel it now. And as I looked with eyes closed, I beheld two beings, spiritual beings. I could not see their faces. I saw the robes they were wearing, and I saw their feet and their sandals, which is interesting because feet always means wisdom that someone has. And so I saw their robes, I saw their sandals, their feet, and they passed something to me. They didn't walk over and hand it to me, they just passed it to me. Just slid it gently into my consciousness. They gave me a gift. And I was wowed, let me tell you. I was giggling, and I knew I had to get out of there. And then I heard Herb say, let's take a 5 or 10 minute break. Oh, thank God. I got up and I walked outside, and 45 years ago or whatever it is, I was smoking. So I lit up my cigarette and was standing around, and I looked and I still felt that presence. Let's say I still felt that realm. Or even better, I still felt the consciousness that I had, that I was dwelling in my chair. Only now I'm standing outside and there's a lot of other people out here. And I look at the trees, and I feel the trees inside of myself, which is that consciousness, and the consciousness is I. And I look at the Pacific Ocean, and I can feel the ocean in myself. I can feel its movement. And what really surprised me, because at the time I thought that nature was closer to God than concrete. But it wasn't. Because as I looked at the asphalt, and I looked at the cars parked, and I looked at the telephone poles and the wires between them, and I looked at the structures, the buildings, and I felt all of them inside of myself. And I felt the same movement, the same life, where they appeared to be. And now I looked at the people. Herb was right. The hard lines had disappeared. I could feel their face on mine as they were talking. I could feel my face on them, on theirs. There were no hard lines. It was impossible to tell where I left off and she began, or her, or him, or them. And then I met Peter, and Peter said, he noticed the book in my hand. It was The Altitude of Prayer. And Peter was young, like I was, which was very unusual. And he said, I've got, well, he had a copy of Beyond Words and Thoughts. And he said, could I trade with you? I've really wanted that book. Sure. Of course you can. And I gave him my copy of The Altitude of Prayer. And he gave me his copy of Beyond Words and Thoughts. And in the back it says, I think it's in the back, hang on. Yes, it says, Peter Barron, Genoa Place, San Francisco, 94133. And there's a phone number. Well, I never called him. I got busy with life, but I kept his book all these years, which is my book now. And then I went back in and I sat down for 7.2, the second part of the seventh class by Herb Fitch. What that moment, that experience gave to me is the ability to always feel my everywhere self. Well, I don't mean all the time. If I'm watching a movie, let's say, what's the name of that one with The Rock in it? Starts with a J. Anyway, if I'm watching an adventure movie, I don't feel it because I'm caught up in the movie. But sometimes, like when I was watching Star Wars years ago, I was sitting there and I was enjoying the movie, and R2-D2 and C-3PO and Han Solo and Chewbacca and everybody else, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Vader, and other people that live by the Force. And I was enjoying that, sitting in my seat in the dark, and I suddenly felt the presence, this everywhere self. And so I pulled back inside myself to see what I had been doing within. And within, I had been practicing feeling that everywhere self. I didn't even know I was doing that. So, that was in 1979, and that weekend gave me the experience, or rather the consciousness, of my everywhere self. Never has it been quite that strong. Let me see if that's right. No, that's not right. It has been that strong several times. For instance, one time I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was in two worlds, and they were overlapping like the rings on the Olympics. You know how the symbol for the Olympics are those rings? There's like four of them, and they overlap. Well, here I am in the middle of the night, everyone's sleeping but me, and I go out to the living room, and it's hard to walk because I'm in these two worlds at the same time. And they're overlapping like the rings for the Olympics. And if ever there was living between two worlds, that was it. So, I would like you to remember this principle because it's dynamite. You don't treat a problem, a person, or a condition. That's why when the phone rings, if you're practicing metaphysical healing and healing outside of time, as Herb is explaining it to us, then you don't treat any of those things. The phone rings. It's Sharon. She says she's run out of money and she doesn't know where it's going to come. She's retired and on a fixed income. I'm not talking to you, Sharon. I made the name up. Anyway, the phone rings and it's her and she says, I need help. And before you can stop her, she tells you what the problem is. And you say, I'll get right to work, and you hang up. Now you've got the problem. It was handed to you, and it's in your consciousness. Well, in metaphysics, you would automatically start to treat in order to get rid of that problem. This new method, you don't do that. No, in this new method, you forget it as fast as you can. Before you close your eyes. And when you have sufficiently forgotten it, you remember this, to treat the consciousness that has the problem by getting out of it. And so you do that. And if you have had the experience that I'm talking about, of feeling your everywhere self, that's all you do. You rest back in that everywhere self. And in that conscious awareness, you have treated the consciousness that had the problem by getting out of it and resting in your everywhere consciousness. Now, we went to Oklahoma to visit Jim and visit Joe, and Jim was very nice. He took us out to eat, him and his wife, and I had a really good time. We were sitting in an audience of 600 people listening to a spiritual talk, and before it got going, I leaned over and I said, hey, Jim, have you lifted up this group? And he said, no. And I had, before the thing got going, while everybody was milling around close to their seats, I lifted the group. How? How did I lift the group? Well, first let me say that I've done this on a smaller scale, and I have seen miracles by getting out of the consciousness of many in the one and putting on immortality, the consciousness of one in the many. And so I know how to sit in an audience like that and detach from it and begin to detach from the mental images I'm seeing, even with my eyes open now, and rest back and remember and feel my everywhere self. And then I look out at the audience and I feel it where they are. And I may say something within like, I am the way. And then I rest a little more because it's not up to me. It's up to that consciousness. And then I may feel inside myself, I am the truth. And I rest a little more because I am is the reality of what I'm looking at. And I may realize inside myself, I am the life. That's a good one. I am the life, and I can feel that life permeating everything. And then I rest, and I let that life lift itself up, and I behold. And when you do that, and it only takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes, when you do that, miracles happen. You see things happen in front of your eyes that could only come from spirit, and you know it. So, I give to you two principles. Herb's giving you a lot, but I give you two. Principle number one, treat the consciousness that has the problem by getting out of it, and then take no thoughts and rest and let the silence move through your consciousness as it is now. Principle number two. If you find yourself on a bus, a city bus or a tram, if you find yourself on a railroad train, if you find yourself on the freeway, the highway with other cars, if you find yourself in an auditorium with many people, in a grocery store, in a bank, on the beach, hiking the Himalayas with some other people. Wherever you find yourself, lift it up and recognize what you're looking at is not what's there. And then feel that presence and rest in it. And that's your acknowledgement without words that I am there. And just gently rest in it. If you're working in a factory and you've just taken a break, when you're done here, go back to work. Watch what happens. It is so fantastic how this I reveals itself. Always spiritual, always harmonious, always wonderful. I would like to thank those of you who helped us this month, because all the things came due, like the website and the fee that Jesse up in Canada charges me to maintain the website. And it's an annual fee, and so I appreciate your help. Thank you so much. Now, if you know your everywhere self, what you did to help can't get outside your everywhere self. So who are you helping? That's right, you're helping yourself, your everywhere self, the I of you. You're loving the I. And thank you. Well, let's see. This was supposed to be a short 15-minute talk, but we're going on almost 25 minutes. Tomorrow I'll be in a little town called, Lenore. And it's in North Carolina, way out past Asheville. It's about 6 hours, 4 hours, something like that from here. And so I will be unable to make the 1 hour talk. And I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to take a 2 week break, but we'll get back to it. I still want to finish the consciousness transformed review. See if I can do it in 2 weeks, but I don't think so. It's looking like 3 weeks. And after that, I do want to take a break for 1 week. And then I want to get started on the thunder of silence. Joel said that was a very, very, very important book, which not many of the students understood. And he said maybe they will get it later. I would like you to meditate on Sunday when we start our study of the Thunder of Silence. I would like you to meditate at 11 o'clock until 11:15. Bring that everywhere self into your awareness, and then recognize that everywhere self is with Bill. I know, God's not in the human scene, but we have to use words that represent each other. So just recognize that everywhere self is right here where I am. Because I really want to know the secrets that are hidden in the Thunder of Silence, and I think you do too. Well, let me know. You have my email. It's iamwithin@gmail.com. And I always answer serious emails. I'm not much for cute stories and funny little jokes. I kind of have always been the serious child, and I'm still that way. I like the deep things. So let's finish the review. Take a week off, but still meditate. And then let's launch out into the deep of the consciousness of the Thunder of Silence. As always, thank you for drawing this out. You know, if I keep going, I could make it an hour. But my wife said she'll be back, so I better not. Okay, thank you. God bless, and it's good to be back. I love you.